Hello and welcome back to China. And you won't believe where I am, and you will believe even less what I am about to do. First of all, I am standing here on the top of the big 15th century city wall. And the music that you hear in the background is coming from speakers. There is no piano on this city wall. And on the left of the city wall, I see the outer city, the hundreds of apartment buildings. And when I look to the right side, I can see the inner city. And together with my mom, we are going to take a ride. A ride, not on a donkey, not on a horse, but on a bike. You can rent a bike here and use it to tour the city wall. You might have heard in one of the previous recordings that I mentioned that every year they organize a marathon on this city wall. But it's wide enough to allow for bikes to drive on it. So let me see. I take this bike. Let's see if it's big enough. It looks like the. You know what? Yeah. Do you have one with normal? Do you have? I would like to have one of the blue ones because I'm more familiar. I'm not familiar with this. I'm gonna fall off. That's better. Yeah, it's better for me. I want to have a bike that is similar to my Dutch bike. Much better, much better, much better. And what I'm going to try to do, we have about an hour, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And I am going to split my media activities, because of course this needs to be recorded for posterity. Well, not my posterity, but perhaps yours. I'm going to record this. There you go. First of all, by microphone. That's why I have now put my... Let me see if I can up the saddle a little bit, because it's a Chinese... Chinese height. There we go. That's a little bit better, I hope. It's all manual, so... Pushing this back, this lever, and hopefully it will stay put. I'm not sure. I hope I did the right thing. Well, anyway, we can fix it. This is a tiny little bike made for tiny Chinese people. And there you go. So, stepping on this bike, and we're gonna explore the ancient city wall. Oh, this is not very. Is it?
It's okay.
It's okay?
It's okay. Seems to be okay.
Okay. All right, well, let's see. Ga goed. All right, I'm on the bike. It's a little bit bumpy because of the pavement on top of this wall, but I am riding a bike on top of a city wall. Another thing that I can take off my bucket list. Actually, it works fine. This is a... what they call in my country a mountain bike, so it's very rugged. The wheels are extremely thick, and they have a very, well-defined profile. So it's even. This would even work on slippery, rainy days. But on a day like this, it actually is very relaxing. This was just 40 yen, so. That is what, $5 or something for an hour. I am not gonna miss this opportunity. Turning around because my mom is following me, but she's driving a little bit slower. I'm on a blue bike, she's on a red bike, but I think the bikes are similar in it's the same type, I think. And for some reason, they play this horrific 80s music, like terrible, terrible elevator music from the speakers here on top of the wall. I'd rather have some Chinese music to set the mood, but hey. So the wall is extremely wide, at least the part on which we're riding our bikes. It's at least, I'd say, 10 meters wide. So ample space for my bike. And this was literally used for the defense of the city. And I think I already told you that story where the king tried to please one of his concubines by lighting the fire tower and then having his soldiers arrive for nothing because there would be no enemy. Well, that happened, according to legend, on this very wall. So there are a number of turrets, a number of towers on the angles of this city wall. And I assume that one of them was used as a fire tower. The entire wall has been restored, clearly been restored very well. Battlements on the outer side, and just a smaller wall on the right side, and red lanterns on a pole with a flag on top of it, or a banner. So, it looks actually pretty impressive, pretty awesome, especially with the banners. And in front of me, I see a ton of skyscrapers, and this is surprising, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kites. Very high up in the sky. Some of these kites seem to be seem to fly higher than the top of these skyscrapers, which is quite amazing. Now, these bikes need some adjustments for some of the taller Dutchmen that we have in our group. My mom was just adjusting her saddle. She's catching up. And this feels like going to work for me, because whenever I'm on a bike, I'm always on my way to church. Always pedaling around between the various churches in Amersfoort. And this is the first time that I ride a bike in China, and what a fitting thing to do for a Dutch priest in the heart of China. Well, and you know, that's one thing that I feel very connected with when it comes to Chinese culture, and that is the ubiquitous, omnipresent presence. I'm definitely not a Chinese poet, as you can tell. Like, there are bikes everywhere in the city. Even today, in this very modern city, the digital capital of China, even here in traffic, even in the busiest traffic, you see people on bikes. Turning a corner now, and holy cow, this is impressive. This wall just extends all the way to the horizon, and very far away in the distance, hardly visible because of the mist, I can see a tiny little tower that marks the end of this wall in front of me, ahead of me. And there are a couple of more little pagoda type buildings on my left. And this wall is actually there's a bit of a slant, so we're currently heading down, so we don't need to put much effort into biking around here. It gets bumpy from time to time, though. See? Bumps, yes. But the bike can handle it. It's a very tough bike. And the view is beautiful. So what I'm planning to do later on is to... Yeah, it's very bumpy here. And there's not much... Well, actually, there is. I was about to say there isn't much compensation for these bumps, but there is this... The four-wheel, as far as I can tell, it has a pneumatic shock absorption system. So that's neat. So what I'm planning to do is, once I get to the end of this first round, and that should take me about 20 minutes... Oh, my mother falls down! Careful, did you... How are you? The camera fell down? How's your knee?
Oh, I'm all...
What happened? You lost your balance? Or...
No, I forgot that it's too high for my...
Oh,
automatic, so afgestapt.
Okay, she's used to a lady's bike, but this is actually kind of a hybrid bike. Careful. Oh, I'm glad you didn't break anything. So we're pausing here for a little bathroom break. I'm glad my mom is kind of sturdy and she doesn't break bones easily. But still, it's always a bit scary. If you're 72 years old, you got to be careful. At least you got to be more careful than when you're 44, like me. So I hope to be able to put away this microphone and trade it in for a video camera. And then I'm going to do the same thing, but then I'm going to film it. And it's going to be an interesting experiment. So I just got this new camera, which, according to the advertisements, has very, very good shock absorption. And so if I just put this on the front of the bike, it should be able to absorb most of the tremors. And it should look like it's actually on a car, or on wheels. Well, actually, it is on wheels if I'm driving my bike. But it should be more like a dolly shot, what they call a dolly shot, where basically you put up a trajectory of rails, and then there is a little cart on top of that with little wheels, very well oiled, allows for very smooth movement, and the camera is on top of that. Sometimes a cameraman, and then they create movement by pushing that little cart on the rails. That's called a dolly shot. Usually that's the only way. It used to be the only way to create very smooth movement, camera movement. But with this camera, the camera housing itself of the lenses is in a, like an internal gyroscope. Don't ask me for the details because I'm not technical. But anyway, it moves independently from the outer casing, which means the outer casing will absorb all the shaking, but it won't affect the lenses, because the lenses are almost like floating on the inside of the camera. So I'm going to put that to the test with this bumpy ride and see how well it does. Are you okay? You hurt your knee. Well, careful now.
Bleeding?
Goodness gracious. Well... The slumps, yes, we're passing by some old apartment buildings, and they look as if they're about to crumble. Extremely dirty. The windows are broken, and still people live there. What's that? Oh, there's a little golf cart that's passing us by on the left. Well, there it goes, full speed. And those older apartment buildings are the ones that they're now gradually replacing by these newer skyscrapers that are being built all over the city, all over the country. And, oh gosh, here it's even worse. You see very old houses that probably belong to the city as it was in, like, 1900. Definitely not any environment in which you want to have people live anymore. So usually there are no bathrooms, there is no sewer system, or not a proper sewer system. And so all that is now quickly being replaced by the government, or by government-subsidized modern building. It's surprising, actually, that on top of this wall, you don't really hear that much noise of the city. I expected much more traffic noise, but well, it's not too bad. And I can totally imagine running a marathon here. You could actually have quite a large number of participants, although I doubt that the entire distance that you can cross on this wall is long enough for an entire marathon. You probably have to run a number of rounds in order to make the distance. But still, just the setting of running here. If I would live here, I would just buy a yearly ticket, because I think they sell them in most places here, for parks as well. Just pay a one-time fee and then come here every morning for a workout and just run around this city. Pretty awesome. I wish we had that in Holland. I would run even more. It is bumpy. But no major holes. It's all just rough terrain. There seems to be a blockade over there, made out of blue. What is it? Blue obstacles. I think those are toilets or something, or containers. Oh, they might have shielded off part of the bridge. Part of the. I keep saying bridge because it feels like I'm on a bridge, but this is not a bridge. They might be restoring that. So let's go a little bit closer and take a look. Here on the left, they're completing a number of very modern-looking, luxurious apartments, buildings, skyscrapers. And the funny thing is, the building itself looks just like any other modern apartment building, but on top they created these little pagoda-like towers and roofs, and looks very nice. Oh, indeed, this is actually a blue plastic fence here on my right, and on the other side I can see through the holes some people that are redoing the pavement. So there are piles and piles of stone blocks that they are putting in place to create a smooth, or relatively smooth, pavement, just like the one on which we're riding our bikes. And they have neatly hidden that from view, just like they do with almost every activity. Whenever you are in a city and they're repairing a building, or even like street lanterns, they will usually fence it off and hide it from view so that your visual experience is not shocked by construction workers. What, you said something?
Did you see those beautiful bronze bins? Felsbacher.
Oh, bins? No, I haven't seen those.
Oh, you should.
Oh. Oh yeah, they look like barrels, actually, ancient Chinese barrels. There's another one of those pagoda-style things. Oh yeah, there's a bird. Oh, there's a rooster on top of it, a metal rooster. I'm good. Well, I'm used to riding a bike. Don't worry. More construction work on our left. You hear the motorized. Oh, actually, they use little cranes and a weight that they pull up and then they drop it. It's probably to solidify the under layer for the bricks. So of course, this needs to be able to withstand a lot of abuse by the weather. In the winter time, the snow and the frost, and then in the fall season, actually the season that is about to start, lots and lots of rain, sometimes torrential rain. You don't want this wall to crumble. Ancient roofs indeed, although the ones on the right are a recreation of the buildings on the left side, which definitely seem a lot older. And sometimes in the newer architecture, they will use cues of, wow, this brake, right-hand brake, is very sensitive. They use elements of the ancient Chan Dynasty type of architecture. Here is a tower, and there's a bit of information, that's why I stepped on the brake. This tower is called the Kuixing Tower. Located on top of the city wall to the east of the south gate of Xi'an, in which the legendary Kuixing, the god of literature, is worshipped. Wow, I didn't know they had a god of literature. The head of the statue of Cuxing appears like that of a ghost, ugly and terrifying. One of his feet lifts up backward like the big bend hook L in the Chinese character. And then there is a Chinese character. One hand holds a dipper, like another Chinese character, while the other hand holds a writing brush, meaning that the god has selected the candidates who will pass the imperial examination by making a dot on their names. As a consequence, the Cuxing Temple was built in both the prefectural school and the county school, or for these two schools, to pray for God's favor, which would enable literature to flourish and the students to pass the imperial examination. And these examinations actually go back in time, as early as the Tang Dynasty. So in the 7th century already, they had a system of, let's say, verification of knowledge or some kind of a graduation type ceremony where you had to pass a series of literary cultural tests, and then only if you had passed those tests, and they were very tough from what I've heard, you could call yourself a poet and you could get a job. As no candidate of the Shanning County School passed a provincial examination of Shaanxi in the 46th year of Emperor Wanli's reign, it's around 1618 in the Ming Dynasty, some prime governor erected the Cuxing Tower to elicit extraordinary vitality in front of the or for this school. And so, okay, so yeah, their students basically were lousy, and so they built this tower to ask the god of literature to help out a little bit, and I hope it helped. This tower was destroyed in the early Republic of China, but it was rebuilt on the original site according to the original structure. So this one was rebuilt in 1986. And it's a nice little red tower with a blue roof. And unfortunately, I can't see the statue of that god of literature because the temple is closed. But I would have loved to see his ugly face. All right, let's step on the bike again and continue. Oop, a little bump. My mom is waiting for me, but she shouldn't. I can always catch up with her. You don't have to wait for me. I can catch up. It's no problem.
I don't like to
ride. Oh, alone. Oh, wait a minute. Here is some more information. On the other side, just in between the trees, I can see an ancient building. And this is a Confucian temple. It is meant for paying homage to Confucius, the famous Chinese philosopher. It stands in front of the steel forest on the north side of the eastern section of some streets, and was renovated twice. The main building of the temple has yellow glazed tiles, and that apparently is a sign of having the highest rank in traditional Chinese architectural hierarchy. Unfortunately, the roof is no longer there. It was destroyed. Now, today there are a number of constructions in front of the hall. The Yi Gate literally means etiquette gate, and the Panxi, a pool in front of the academy. The Lingxi Gate and the Memorial Archway, they are all still intact. So a Confucian temple, again, created to ask for, you know, some heavenly help with the acquisition of wisdom and knowledge. All these temples and all these little details, again, just stress how much of a cultural city this used to be. And actually still is, although nowadays most of its knowledge is focused on the emerging digital industry, but still. The city has a lot of universities, and so part of that intellectual heritage is still here up until today. Some more old temples. This is a beautiful scenic tour, actually, because I I think that they kept most of the older buildings in place in the inner city. All right, to ride around some of these tourists. Here's another spot where you can rent bikes. They also have tandem bikes, so you can take one bike with two people. I've actually never tried riding on those, and actually it scares me because I'm so used to driving a single person bike. I just don't want to risk losing my balance and falling, because then you'd have two wounded people instead of one. All right. Of course, this is not something that you see Chinese do. This is something for tourists, mostly. I wonder how many Dutch tourists have done this. I bet you that most Dutch visitors, when they see these bikes, they just gotta do it. Oh, wow. Here they're building some huge stage on the left, so on the outer side of the wall. And mounting spotlights, so I guess they're getting ready for a concert or some sort. Oh, wait a minute. There's actually a little bit of a courtyard here. Oh, yeah, they're mounting a huge stage there. And there is the city wall here has an extension, a rectangular extension, and in the center is an open space. And down below, they created this concert stage for some performance. And why not? Must be a very cool location for a concert, especially acoustically, because the sound is you're shielded from the city sounds. There's another big building on my right. You kind of get used to these Chinese temple-like buildings, because there's so many of them. It's like when I'm in France and you see the first Roman church, you know, like an early medieval church, and you're like, oh my goodness, what a beautiful church. You take 5,000 pictures, and then you see a second one and you take 500 pictures, and you see a third one, you take 50 pictures, and then the fourth one, just 5, and then the next one's just like, it's just another, this is not a Roman church. And here it's kind of the same. I took a lot of pictures of buildings like this when I started to tour China, and now I'm like, yeah, been there, done that. Let's see, here's some more information here. So this is a Shangzi temple, or it used to be a Shangzi temple, where one of the 8 legendary Taoist immortals. Yeah, no problem. We have time. One of the 8 legendary Taoist immortals is worshipped. His name is Han Shangzi. However, he was a real person. Originally, his name was Han Xiang, and he passed the highest imperial examination around 823. And he was set to gain magic arts and become it was told that he had become an immortal just by studying. So apparently he had access to some very, very strong, powerful wisdom that made him immortal, and so they built a temple for him. This is also the place where you had the Taichung Bureau of the Tang Dynasty. Again, Tang Dynasty, 7th century. This was the central institution in charge of royal sacrificial affairs in the Tang Dynasty. 3 senior officials were appointed, that is, the director of Taichung and 2 deputies, to administer 8 bureaus, and this is funny, these are the names of these bureaus. First one, Temple of Heaven and Earth. Why not? You should have a bureau for that, for the heaven and earth relationships. The Temple of the Royal Ancestors, because of course, ancestor worship, very important in Chinese culture. The Bureau of Royal Tombs. Well, we know how big these tombs could be. Think of the imperial tomb with the terracotta soldiers. There was lots of legislation as to how these tombs should be constructed. There is the Imperial Bureau of Music, also very important in the Tang Dynasty. Imperial Bureau of Musical Instruments, the Imperial Academy of Medicine, the Imperial Bureau of Divination. and the Imperial Granary of Sacrifices. That sounds so cool. Almost sounds like a Harry Potter story. The affairs at... this Bureau of the Tang Dynasty took care of the royal sacrificial ritual, sacrificial music, guarding the royal tombs, medicine, divination, and preparation and storage of sacrificial animals and grains. A lot of this reminds me of the temple structure and organization that I've seen in Greece. And some people call Xi'an, this city, the Chinese Athens because of its flourishing intellectual culture. We're passing another distribution point for bikes, and I might actually have to speed up a little bit in order to get back in time, because we only have an hour to tour the entire city. Now, I think if I really push it, there's not going to be a problem, but oh well. My mom is somewhere at the horizon, so I'm going to speed up here and try to catch up with her. And hopefully I will not fall, because that would not end well for me and for you, since you're all in this little recorder that I'm carrying in my left hand while I'm steering and using the brake with my right hand. Well, this bike is a little bit rusty. It needs some oil. I can't see my mom. She can't be that far away. Where did she go? Or perhaps she... Did I pass her by? It's almost as if this bike can't handle the speed that I'm driving at. Let's see. This is kind of my normal cruise speed in the Netherlands when I only have half an hour to go from one church to the other. Oftentimes I have to really push it to arrive in time. Well, it's a good way to digest all that delicious Chinese food that I've been eating. Still no sign of my mom. Oh, there she is. She's taking photos of the old buildings below. There we are. Ah, I'm back. How much is this? The third? Is this a square or is it? It looks like a square. Let's go. Let's go. Because I don't know how much time there's left and how much of a distance we still need to cover. Although I think it's okay. I mean, they said it takes an hour, but that's of course if you are riding your bike on tourist speed. But I'm cruising my bike on pastoral, Dutch pastoral speed. So I thought it would be possible to tour this entire thing in half an hour, but I've been stopping a few times to read you the information. So it took me a little bit longer than planned. But hopefully when I arrive, I will still have some time to create a little video clip. Although that usually tends to take more time than I think. Oops, I gotta turn around because here's some more information about a gate. This was the location of the... Oh, actually it's below us, the Wumu Gate. Interesting. The Wumu Gate was opened to meet the needs of anti-Japanese and air defense in April 1939. So this is a very new gate. Used to for the defense against the Japanese. All the rest of the information is not very interesting. As sparse as the information is in some archaeological locations, this information here is a little bit too abundant for the regular tourist. Anyway, still lots of older houses here on the right. The nice curved rooftops decorated with little dragons and little statuettes of lions. It looks very, very elegant from this point of view, and you don't see that when you're walking the streets. Actually, I never saw that. But this, we've been here for a couple of days now, and all I've seen from the bus, at least, are the modern buildings and the shopping malls and everything. But this older part of the city is nice from on top of this thing. Say again.
I think we are
only halfway. Well, that's okay because we still have 30 minutes. So if we don't stop anymore and if you don't need any more bathroom breaks, we're going to be fine. And I'll go up a little hill. And it's kind of hard to see the orientation of our direction because the sun is still very... It's trying to make its way through a very hazy sky. And so you don't really... You can't tell from the shadows in which direction you're driving, but it's not so big. I mean, I guess this is going to be the last two parts of the tour. Oh, I'm hearing some music down below. What is that? Let me peek over the battlements here. Oh, wow. There are ladies with brightly colored shawls or pieces of cloth, and they're waving them around, and four people are making music or playing drums down below. Again, I don't think this is a public performance. I think this is just one of these exercise things that the Chinese do in order to stay fit. But I have to say, visually, it's very pleasant to look at. If you compare that with our European and American fitness schools, you know, where you see all these sweaty people completely isolated from one another because they have their iPods to listen to music and they're watching television screens while they're running or using some other torture device. It's very individualistic, whereas here, almost everything that I've seen when it comes to physical exercise is done in community with others. It's always in groups. And it's always public. It's always nice to look at. There's some elegance. And of course you don't need that to stay fit. You don't need the visual aspect. But I think it's just ingrained in Chinese, in the Chinese mentality, that not only does it have to be good, it's got to look good. It's like food. The way they present food here, no matter how simple it is, just a bit of vegetables and some meat, the way they present it, it's always carefully balanced in terms of colors. It's sometimes neatly dressed. They add little ornamentations made out of cabbage or put some flowers on top. There is just so much care that is making its way to the dinner table. And it's just another expression of that same idea that the let's say the visual aspect, the beauty, let's just call it beauty because that's ultimately what it is. Beauty is an important thing to pursue, even if it's not functional. And again, I think it's something that we can learn from the Chinese, that just harsh, pure functionality alone does not create a nice world to live in. We are creatures that are aspiring two things, two values, like beauty and hence dance and music that has no function, no true function, except for, you know, like social cohesion. And I mean, there are ways in which you can explain it away, but there is also an element of gratuity in art, in beauty. And it's like food, you know, we could all survive and perhaps even thrive on astronauts' food, you know, this like very carefully balanced goo that contains all the minerals and all the vitamins and fibers that we need. But we need something more. And so that's what the art of cuisine, the art of cooking is all about. It's not just the taste, it's also the variety, it is the presentation, it's art. It's a form of art. And I think that helps us to realize that we're not just meant for this earth. We're not just material beings like animals that don't care what their food looks like. You know, a dog, you can serve a dog a birthday cake, but he's not going to care what it looks like. He just wants to eat. Well, we human beings have a calling for something much higher. And so these spiritual values are ultimately that what makes us truly human. It's actually what is beyond this earth and beyond just a material realm that makes us such incredible creatures that are, in a way, aspiring for the divine and the heavenly beauty and the source of beauty, which is ultimately God. And that, I think, is why in this Chinese religious culture, you see constantly the same aspiration, like in the Tang Dynasty, where they would pray to Buddha, or, you know, it doesn't really matter much to how they were praying or how they would label these deities, but it is the same expression of this universal aspiration for the arts, for culture, for the spiritual values. That and in a way, everything that is connected to God is so much more than just functional. God, as soon as you start to degrade God to just someone who can help you, someone who is your business partner in a way, then you actually you turn God into a human being, or even less. You know, it's just a machine. You put in a quarter and out comes the help and the grace that you need. Whereas God is always superfluous. That's also why a lot of people have trouble believing, because they're like, well, what use is it to believe in God? You know, sometimes it does more harm than good. But God is not just useful. God is not just related to some need that we have. God is, even before we were. God is there. And he is love even before he needed to be loved. And that is what makes him God. Because we only live because we're dependent on others. And our whole existence is... In our entire existence, we're never self-sufficient, even though we sometimes think we are. But we are ultimately never. We get ill, we grow old, and we need other people to take care of us. And when we were born, none of us could have survived on our own, you know? you can't just, on the day of your birth, go and hunt some cattle and prepare a meal. You needed other people. And so this dependency is what makes, of course, the human race such a beautiful community, because I think God planned us to need each other. Oh, I think we're here. We've arrived. Here is the pagoda again. But God doesn't need us. He wants to need us. Oh, down a little slope here. But he doesn't truly need us. He doesn't depend on us. And I'm glad he doesn't. So, I got on a tangent. I don't know how I got here. But anyway, those are my thoughts while driving around, while riding my bike on this beautiful city wall in the city of Xiang. And is this really... Yeah, I think this is the place where we got to hand in our bikes again. Although I don't remember this... Oh, actually, we might not be there yet. See, because here's another staircase up. Here's a group of tourists that we have to pass by carefully. Oh, no, I thought we were here, but we're not. Oh, well, that's weird. Oh, wait a minute. This is just one of these... Okay, let's go up. We still have to continue. Up and up and up. Here's another distribution point for bikes. But we still have some time. We've still got 15 minutes. So I guess I'll have to give up on my idea of filming this. Or I might be able to some tourists or some Chinese. Actually, this is a group of Chinese on a bike, and they're making funny photos on their bikes. That's why they were yelling. They were not yelling at me for once. And so this might actually be the final part of our journey. And now my mom's being pursued by 30 Chinese on bikes. But in front of me, the entire road is empty. So here is the Xiang Children's Hospital on the right. And it's still under construction. They're still building it. Again, in a kind of stylized Chinese architectural style. Rather nice, I have to say. So, yeah, that must be the final part. I get a little bit confused because every part of the wall kind of looks alike. Oh, they all look more or less the same. This, by the way, is the last official sightseeing activity of this journey. This is not the last day, but the day before the last day. Tomorrow morning, very early, we will travel from Xi'an back to Beijing with a local flight, and then we have an entire day in Beijing, and we will probably use it to just shop a little bit and, well, relax a little bit, prepare for the long journey home. And then late at night, actually, I think it's after midnight, 1 o'clock at night, we will take the plane back to Brussels in Europe. That'll be a trip of about 10 hours, 10, 11 hours. And we'll arrive very, very early in the morning because we're traveling westwards. And then from Brussels, we'll probably take the train to the Dutch border and then go to Boxtel, where my parents live. And then I still have to travel back to Amersfoort. So it's going to be a very, very long journey back home, but nothing compared to the incredible journey that we made here in China. Well, I have to say, I am super excited to be on a bike, and it feels great. I miss my bike. So we've been walking, but most of the time we were just sitting in a bus. And I don't know if you've ever traveled with a group. I mean, it's great, you get to know each other, but you're really stuck in that bus. And when once the group moves, you gotta move as well. So I continuously got into trouble because I was either filming, or I was podcasting, or I was taking pictures, and I would lose the group, and then everybody would be already in the bus waiting for me. And I have a really hard time adapting because I'm so used to being this free bird who just flies wherever he wants to go. And so it does demand a little bit more discipline than I'm used to. But what I miss most is just my normal social environment. You're stuck with this group of 25 people or 20 people now. And since Facebook and Twitter and the social networks are blocked, I have very limited contact with the people that I normally interact with on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis. And that, after 15 days, that's starting to really weigh heavy on me. I really miss my extended digital family. So I can't wait to get back.
Very good for you.
Why is this very good for me?
Because that's life. You can't stay outside of the life, the living part of the world.
You mean this is the life? Being outside of the...
No, to live with people.
Yes, but that's what I miss. I mean, the group that I live with now is just 20 people, and almost all of them are old.
Oh, that's what you
I miss my social life, my normal digital social life.
Oh, I have misunderstood.
So that's, and I really missed them because normally I just, you know, follow just all these day-to-day activities, and it makes me feel connected to them. And even sharing is very difficult. I had, fortunately. Say again? Yeah. Well, people are changing a light bulb using ancient Chinese acrobatics, which look extremely lethal. But hey, there is not much legislation, I think, around manual labor here in China. So we're getting to the end of this part of the wall. I really hope the next part is the last one, otherwise we're going to be in trouble. We've got 10 minutes left. It's good exercise, though. Yeah, I know. I hope it's not permanently damaged. Because you fell on that ridge. Yeah, these Chinese people are taking more risks than is prudent. But what do they know? Well, actually, they do know a lot about biking. Because they do it all the time, probably more than I do. Well, actually, I wouldn't say so. I'm on my bike on a daily basis, at least. I must be on my bike at least an hour every day. Whether it is for shopping or going to work. Here's another temple. We don't have time to take pictures, Mom. We really have to move on. One more picture. She's actually exactly like me. I'm like that all the time. It's like, oh, one more shot, one more recording. What? Just this 1 minute. Isn't it funny how you tolerate it from yourself, but you are very critical of other people when they display the same behavior? Probably because it works like a mirror, a psychological mirror. But it is pretty. I'm glad she's taking photos so I don't have to do it. That's been my greatest, let's say, organizational challenge during this trip. It is just managing the media. And I'm so glad that I only have a small camera and I've got a small microphone. It's all very portable. But just changing between the microphone and the video camera, and then I'm using the iPad to take pictures. And even though I love the quality, it is a very cumbersome thing, cumbersome device for photos. It's really, and then, you know, it's in this protective case by Apple, which is, you know, it's nice. It's got this magnetic lid, but man, it's such a drag. It's such a horrible thing to use when you're taking photos, because the cover, the front cover or the front protection, whatever it is, always falls in front of the camera. So you gotta fold it up, and oh, it's just a really horrible point and shoot device. So hopefully in the future I can afford a new camera with a better, or a new phone actually with a better camera, and I'll just use that. That will eliminate another, well, bulky thing, and it'll be easier to manage because I can just keep it in my breast pocket and take it out whenever I want to take a photo. But with the iPad, you have to open your bag, you gotta... But anyway, what am I complaining? I'm just glad that everything worked out so well. And I've been able to record a ton of material, and it's all looking awesome, especially the video. It's really, really nice. And I hope that the audio turns out nice as well, even though I know that some of the recordings were made on an iPhone, which is less than ideal. No? Are we?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it doesn't look like we're climbing, but we're
descending that way.
Oh, probably. Yeah, we got to pay the price. Well, we got to step on it because we've got 5 minutes left. And we got to go all the way to the horizon there. So... Yes. Well, nobody's really in a hurry anymore because we're at the end of the day, and so I think we've seen whatever there was to see. I know that there are a few more tourist locations that are usually listed if you when you visit Xi'an, but I'm not sure that we have time to visit them. I think that most of the group wants to go back to the hotel and rest, because this morning we were up at 6 to go to church. We had Mass in the cathedral, and I think I've already mentioned that. And then we went back for breakfast, just 40 minutes, and then we had to rush back into the bus again. So nobody has had time to rest, because we've been going from place to place. Anyway, you've heard me complain about that element of the trip. It's a little bit too full for, you know, the schedule is too intense for, especially, you know, seeing the age, the general age of the participants. But at least we get to see a lot, and I get to podcast a lot, which, you know, I don't mind. I hope you don't mind. It's kind of old-fashioned podcasting in the way I used to do it. In the olden days, like 7 years ago, when most of you weren't born yet, I was already carrying around my recorder to all these different places in the world. So we did visit another location that it wasn't really worth recording, but it was interesting nevertheless. And since we still have about 5 minutes to cover here while I'm bringing back this bike, might as well mention it. We went to a silk factory, and this is just one of these tourist traps, and our guide took us to that other manufacturing place of the terracotta soldiers. But it was, you know, he told us that it would be, you know, we would learn how the terracotta soldiers were made, and it was much better than in the museum, etc., etc. It turned out that you get a tour of 10 minutes, and then they steer you to a huge shop where, of course, they hope that you will buy their merchandise, which a lot of tourists do, and it seems to be kind of a staple thing that these Chinese guides do. I'm pretty sure they get a commission for each group that they bring to the factory. And so he took us this morning to a silk factory. Of course, this is Xi'an is the beginning, the start of the silk route, and and silk has always been part of the local industry here. As you know, silk is made from silk worms. They showed us some photos on which you could see these little nasty critters, and then once they turn into a cocoon, or they don't turn into a cocoon, they build a cocoon, silk is harvested and then spun, and they create silk cloth, which is then painted. And so the only demonstration that we got was one painting technique, which was batik. I already knew that because we've been using that technique in primary school already, so it was nothing new there. And then they tried to sell us these, silk scarves, but all that was just machine print, and it looked so ugly. It was just very cheap stuff, and the prices were sky high. And then they showed us a lady that was weaving, and then they tried to sell us rugs, and all the rugs were machine made as well. And so I was just really not liking that part of the trip, because I was feeling that I was being forced into buying stuff, and the personnel was constantly pursuing. My mom was like, "Oh, you want to buy this? You want to buy that? Oh, that looks great, don't you think?" And I never like it when I feel that I'm being pressured into a purchase. So I at one point I just left. I was like, "Yeah, I got to get out of here," especially because we were at this park with the small goose pagoda, and I was interviewing my mom about her past and about her mom and dad, and at one point the leader, our guide, came back yelling at us, "Oh, you gotta go to the bus, you gotta go to the bus," ruining the last part of my interview. And I was like, "What's the hurry?" And then to discover that the hurry was that we had to go to this stupid factory to buy tourist merchandise and stay there for an hour and a half. I was miffed, to put it mildly. Like, yeah, really, I don't care. You know, I can look up on the internet how silkworms are producing silk. You know, it's kind of common knowledge. And instead, you should have let me just, you know, be in that park a little bit longer, because it's the only kind of natural environment that we've been at. And there's not been any time during this journey through China to actually just sit in a park and talk to my mom, and that's what I want. But again, that's the downside of traveling with a group. You're not in control of the itinerary. It has its advantages. I would have never been able to organize a trip like this through China. I wouldn't even have dared to go on a tour like this by myself. But the downside is that you're constantly living someone else's schedule. And, well, I just have this very strong, independent necessity, desire to be in control myself. I think we have arrived. I hope we have arrived, actually. I'm not sure. Is this where we end in the bikes? I truly hope so. Otherwise, we're in big trouble, because we're out of time. I've been recording exactly for 1 hour, so I know exactly that we took 1 hour to make this tour. I never thought that I'd be able to blabber for an hour. And I'm still, you who is currently listening to this recording, you are the only person left. All the others have already skipped the rest of the recording. Say again? I don't think so. Well, I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. Yes, it is. I think it is. Because I can see the group there. But they are on their bikes. They're still on their bikes. You see them? They're over there. It might not be the end. I don't know. We'll see. There is probably another distribution point on the other side. Let me go check. They're taking pictures, but at least we caught up with them, so we're not the only ones who are late. We're driving up a metal ledge here. Moeten we onze fiets al inleveren? Is dat hier of is dat, waar is dat?
We zijn op de helft.
Nee toch?
Ja, zeker.
Nee, we hebben
driekwart gedaan.
Only? Oh my goodness.
Hier is de drum tower.
Oh, the drum tower. This is actually very close to our hotel. It's the drum tower for the evening drums. And over there is the tower with the bell. And it's busy. Well, so apparently, according to my friends here, we are at three quarters. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask my mom to go with them. Kun jij hun volgen?
Ja,
dan ik kom er wel achteraan. Ik haal jullie wel in. So I'll just catch up with them. But I'm going to end this recording. This is a nice point, actually, to stop the audio recording. Still going to try to do some video just for the fun of it. So here you've got a beautiful view of the city. And as I mentioned, the big drum tower and the bell tower all the way to the end of the horizon. This is a nice view that I want to film, so that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm just going to speed very, very quickly to the distribution point. So, hey, thanks for biking along. I hope you enjoyed it. And, well, till next time, take care and God bless. Bye-bye.